Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Stoney, you got to win him by 1 point.
Yeah.
So your emotions are...
cautiously optimistic. Yeah. How's that? I mean...
Nervous?
Yeah, a little bit. But I'm not as nervous if it, I'd be more nervous if it was a one and done game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not convinced, even if they lose, that they can't go on the road and win two or three games.
Yeah. I mean, the history is slanted against teams that have to go multiple road games as opposed to the path at home.
Right.
We gave the stat, the NFC title the last 10 years. Has been won by the home team, eight of the last 10.
Right.
It's a huge deal to have home field for the postseason here. Let's get some phone calls and ticket text. 248-539-9797. Brady and Tecumseh, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Hey, so you guys said one word to describe how I'm feeling about this team. And that word is gratitude. I've watched this team for 30 years to be in this position, last game of the year, fighting for the NFC North. I am so grateful that we're in this position. I'm excited, diehard fan. And I got one question for you guys. Say, God forbid, just being realistic, if we lose to the Vikings, how do you feel? What's your predictions if we get that 5 seed and have to play on the road?
Well, I'm they're undefeated on the road this season, so I'd be confident they'd be able to go into LA or go into Tampa and win a football game.
Agreed. Who would they play after that?
At Philly
potentially, or at Minnesota.
Yeah.
And then potentially the other one after that.
Yes. So, yeah. Can they do it? Yeah. It is going to be, would it be difficult? Yeah.
Everybody wants to do like absolutes. Like they can.
Yes.
But let's like just arbitrarily your gut, your percentage. Like if they're the one seed, I don't know. They probably got a greater than 50% chance to go to the Super Bowl. If they're the 5 seed, that percentage is probably like 25.
Yeah.
It probably gets cut in half.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a big deal what's on the line this week.
Yeah.
Now he said gratitude is his one word. Mm-hmm. I would say psyched. Like, gratitude's almost like, well, I'm just happy to be here. It's like, no, I'm excited for them to cement the North, for them to go 6-0 in the best division in football, for them to win the North consecutively for the first time in the history of the team, and to secure that path paved with gold. Right? Like, you're a golfer, Stoney.
Yes.
You're going to play on the fairway the whole way.
Yeah.
If you lose, you're going to be in the rough. I can't wait for them to earn it. On Sunday Night Football, for everybody to see, leave no doubt who the best team is in the North.
And have a week off so you can rest and just get ready and game plan and do everything for the two games that you will have at home to go to the Super Bowl.
Ticket text, thoughts on the game and everything we've been discussing. Texter says, come on, guys, it sounds like Minnesota radio. Lions are an elite team. Vikings are not. They are not equal, period. Injuries don't matter. Lions by double digits.
Okay. I hope you're right.
The only thing I disagree with is Minnesota radio.
I know.
Everybody picked the Lions to win the game on the show.
Yes.
I would seriously doubt if you spend 10 minutes on Minnesota radio that it would be unanimous that they're losing the game this week.
Right. I'm a heathen because I think the Vikings will...
Keep it close. And
yeah, keep it close.
But the thing that injuries don't matter...
That's a dumb statement.
If Hutchinson was playing, would it make a difference?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Then we can just be done with that ticket text. Like, that's nonsense.
Right.
The Vikings are only close due to defensive injuries, but yes, they are equal. Full strength, the Lions would win hands down.
Yes, we all agree with that.
Yep.
That's not Minnesota radio.
Nope. The Vikings defense is smoke and mirrors. They blitz all game. It gives you the false sense that they're a really good defense.
They're a middle of the pack defense, right?
Yeah, but I think the perception is maybe greater than the reality.
Yes. Now, look, Brian Flores, you know, they give up big plays and have given up big plays to the Lions in the past. So it's a risk-reward type of a defense. And so it's going to be, you know, Gibbs is going to have to be really good at, you know, picking up the blitz if it's not, if, you know, if he's not already, you know, downfield or in the flat for a pass. But, yeah, and they disguise them really well. And Lions should win the football game.
Gibbs had a good blitz pickup in the last game.
Yes, he did.
And typically, that's been something Montgomery's better at.
Mm-hmm.
And Gibbs has had to step up, not just as a ball carrier, but in protections, too. And you're right. This is a good matchup for it because you have to ID that extra blitzer. Even if it's someone that you're giving weight to, you just got to get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give Goff an extra half second to get you know, step into a throw. And you're right. Down the field, there's going to be plays to be made against Minnesota's defense. I do think, to his point, it's a little skewed in when you blitz and you play that way, you'll punish the bad teams, right? They'll get frazzled, and the good teams can settle in and pick their spots and still make plays. But the bad teams can't run it, have to throw it into a hurricane, and they make mistakes. Detroit's avoided that each of the last three times they've faced Brian Flores.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, Flores says, you know what, everybody's expecting all the blitzes all the time. Maybe we drop guys back because, you know, Detroit's so good at, you know, the middle of the field with their receivers.
Maybe. 248-539-9797. A few more. This one says, Lions really need to stop Jefferson, Addison, and Hockenson. Running game shouldn't be a worry. Goff knows how to play well against Flores and the Vikings defense. We have this very loud crowd on our side as well.
Yes, we do. No doubt about it.
Sam Darnold is a bum. Will always be a bum. The Vikings are the luckiest team in the league.
He's not a bum. This is, correct me if I'm wrong, this is not the Viking team from a few years ago that really had, with Kirk Cousins, that got those ugly wins and all that stuff, and ended up losing to the Giants in the playoffs.
Yep, first round exit. That was a team all season. I think they won 12 or 13 games, and we said, they're just not that good.
Right.
This team is better than that team. Darnold does one thing that plays into our defense. He puts the ball in harm's way. We have three guys that love to pry the ball out and take the ball away. Branch Joseph and Ife Melifonwu. Keep an eye on him.
The turnovers are going to be a key. If we can create some turnovers, we're going to win the football game. And if that's the case, it will be Gov and yours double-digit disco. Even though you didn't say double digits
not
for this game, but it's still you're the trademark on it.
Sure.
Gov's got the franchise, second location.
One word, pessimistic.
Okay.
Texter says, I think we lose, and we lose by a decent margin. And another one says, nervous.
Yeah, look, there'll be nerves. You know, that's part of being a fan, because you do look at the bad as well. So I understand nervous, and I'm a little pessimistic, too. You can do that, but you know what? That's why you are a fan. If you go into every game, in my opinion, if you go into every game thinking that you're never going to lose, you know, you're going to be disappointed a lot. So, you know, realistic. Be realistic about this. It should be a really good game.
I think a level of nervousness or stress is healthy with a game like this. Like, your blood should be pumping a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's part of playing in a big game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's normal. That's healthy. It means you're alive. A couple more. 248-539-9797 on the ticket text. The Vikings are a one-trick pony on defense. Late in the year, when people have scouted them, that blitz gets neutralized. That's why they haven't advanced late in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Ron in Garden City, nervous but excited. Minnesota's a great team, and it should be close. Crowd's a huge factor. Lions win 38-34.
Is this the game where they just feed Jefferson constantly? Because when he plays against us, he gets some decent stats, but the Lions have done a really good job of trying to take him out of the game as best they can.
Well, and I think it was last year, the defense late in the season said, we'll give up a big play or two.
Right.
We'll blitz. We'll leave guys on an island. We just can't. We have to stiffen up in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
And those blitzes have to get home once in a while and force third longs or turnovers. And it was a trade-off. Lions were really aggressive last year blitzing late in the season.
Yeah.
And they may do it again to try to heat up Sam Darnold. Because, Stoney, that's the other thing. Ticket Texture points out, how do they get pressure on Darnold?
Right.
They have not been able to get consistent pressure.
This is a game that Za'Darius Smith, I've said it all week, needs to show why they got him. And when he plays against his former teammates, he seems a little bit more energized. So this is a huge game for him, I feel.
I agree with you. He does need to show up. He's Somebody on that line needs to show up. I'm not trying to say that I don't think the Lions' defensive injuries are going to be. Obviously, their defense is taking a hit, all right? I also prescribe to the theory is the more you get ready and prep with the defense that you have, the better that you just get.
That's true.
You know, that just because they can get better, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the things that got overlooked in the previous matchup was Jahmyr Gibbs. He had 19 touches for 160 yards in that game. And that's with Demo playing. He had 9 carries for only 31 yards.
He had, in my opinion, one of the biggest plays of that game. They were down 10-0.
Yes.
And they need to get back into it. And they didn't want to abandon the run. They needed a big run play. And he housed it. I mean, that's the difference. That's how they came back.
You know, they had trouble with him last game. Now Gibbs gets even more touches with Montgomery out. Just how that, you know, will open things up for the Lions offense even more. I mean, I think that Darnold will, you know, succumb to the environment a little bit.
I hope so.
He's never been in anything like this before.
No.
That's true.
And you've just got to, like, if the Lions can get up early, I think the Vikings might panic and go away from the run. I mean, Aaron Jones had a decent touchdown run in that game against the Lions up in Minnesota. It was the first score of the game.
Yeah.
So, look, who knows? I guess the word for me, I feel confident. I keep going back to trusting this team and trusting everything that's been built and put into this. And that a team can, that another team in the division can come in here and win in this situation with what the Lions have built.
It's going to be tough. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be tough for them, and it's not going to be easy for the Lions. Has Darnold played a game at Ford Field since his first game in the NFL? I don't think so. I don't think the Jets came back. Carolina, he was a backup. He torched them in Carolina. Remember that game? He ran the ball a lot himself.
Yeah, I don't think he's been back.
No. Well, let's just channel that first play. Quandre Diggs.
Oh, yeah. But then
the rest of the game.
Channel the rest of the game. To Tom's point, if it's going to be a double-digit disco, it's going to have to be an early lead because then you do have the world come crashing down on the way. It goes against everything Minnesota wants to do. Playing from a lead versus playing from behind.
You know, people said it was a little not quite as loud for the Buffalo game. Well, it was how Buffalo jumped on them, I think, to a degree. But also, you know, we got to get the real fans going and get loud.
There it is.
Can't have Jack and Coke Jerry, you know. Keeping things quiet.
Tangeray Tina.
We're going to keep having fun with this game. We got open Lions and Vikings, the game we've been waiting for. Stoney, you think we need a villain to focus our energy on with Minnesota, and you're going to cast that villain next?
Yeah.
All right. It's 97.1.
That was great. Yes. And, hey, McClellan and the company, they challenged the goal before, lost the challenge. You look like, oh, boy, here we go. We're going to lose a game on a bad coach's challenge as we go to the penalty kill. And they you know, kill the penalty and Bergeron out of the box and scores the goal. It's great.
They're playing so much better. They're playing effing hockey. And Stoney, the new coach effect does wear off at some point. And I thought last night it was telling that once they gave up the lead on the road in the second period, they still fought, they still scored. And even with adversity on the PK at the end of the game, you heard how it ends.
Yeah, Sherratt blocking a shot.
Mott getting a stick out, great pass, and Bergeron breakaways in back-to-back games.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who basically thought that Lalonde was the only problem, that the roster was, and I said, no, it's more than that. And then, of course, he texted, see what a new coach and scheme can be? And some of that is true. There's no doubt about it. They're playing looser. They're playing a little harder than they did for Lalonde. But, you know, that's what happens when teams start losing.
But there's a lot of hockey left, and all of a sudden they have a little juice, a little life, and the season's not over. It's a good change of pace.
Yes, if indeed. They keep playing like this, though, and it continues after the new coaching hire bump that they're probably getting right now, we don't know what's going to happen like that. But I just think it's more indicting Yzerman how long he...
Correct.
The rope that he gave Lalonde.
I still remember when the season ended, and Sonny, you may have been at the press conference, when the season ended last year and Yzerman was asked about Lalonde's job security.
Yeah.
And he was like puzzled at the question. Like, no, Derek's going to be back.
Yeah, because he saw where they were when he took over, meaning Lalonde, and the progress they made last year where they...
Well, the end of the season, they gagged.
They gagged, but the fact
And that was under his leadership, which is often flat, right?
I understand.
And there were people who... And he was... People were questioning whether he should have been the coach at the end of last season.
Correct. Well, I'm saying Eisenman probably said, wait a second, we can talk about it. We had such a big improvement. You know, that's probably what he was thinking.
But then it seemed like he really backed the guy longer than he needed to.
Yeah.
And we'll see. There's still time for them to dig out of this, and they're playing much better hockey. Mm-hmm. Okay, Stoney, we got the Viking game, and you want to find a villain on the other side?
Oh, yes. I want to ask people out there, too. 248-539-9797. One of the great things about sports is hate factor, whatever words you want to use, and, you know, teams need villains. You need somebody that you really despise. And I'm, you know, so who are the Vikings do you really despise? Who will be the villain? And Darnold is not a villain. He's a, you know, kind of dorky looking guy, you know. There's only two, in my opinion, possible villains.
Okay.
One is somebody that people are very familiar with, and that would be TJ Hockenson. You know, maybe, you know, he shows that he shouldn't have been traded and all that kind of stuff. I remember when he was traded.
I have the quote.
Go ahead.
When he was going from the Lions to the Vikings, that's really what we're here to do, is go somewhere to win games. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the first time I've been able to say that.
Yes. Okay, so there's villain number one. And the other one is Harrison Smith. And Harrison Smith, for those of you who don't follow them that closely, is a safety. Drafted out of Notre Dame. Another reason not to like the dude. But, you know, 29th pick in the draft back in 2012, I believe it was. You know what the Lions took that year?
Tell me.
Riley Reiff. Mm. That was not a horrible
pick.
That's
not terrible. All things
better than Ryan Broyles in the second round. Anyway. But and Harrison Smith has a reputation, well-deserved, of being a little, you know, dirty, chippy, whatever. Somebody, you know what Harrison Smith is? A guy you wish was on your team, you'd love him, but he was on somebody else's team, you can't stand him.
Sure, he's a hard hitter. He plays the position aggressively.
Right. Probably the way they feel about, like, Kirby Joseph. Brian Branch. Yes.
Sure, yeah.
So there's my villains.
I think it's funny. Those are the two in my head.
Yeah.
And I was actually going to say TJ Hockenson.
Okay, sorry.
You're good, though. People can fill in the blanks if we're missing somebody. Yeah. But Hockenson going, I want to win. Well, you could lose the division on Sunday. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. Well, I didn't disagree with what he said.
At the time, he was right. So maybe there just isn't the vitriol there. So maybe
it isn't. I think we talked about this last week. In this division, the Vikings are probably the least hated team by Lion fans. Even though for the older Lion fans, when the Vikings, you know, they would get to Super Bowls and lose, and the Vikings would dominate the black and blue division, you know, in the 70s after Green Bay was good and before the Bears, you know, the Vikings were just, they had a streak, I don't know what, where they just beat the Lions every single time, it seemed.
I mean, my perception of it is this. Green Bay's inflicted the most pain directly to Lions fans.
Oh, yes.
So nobody has anything nice to say about Green Bay. Right. And Chicago and Detroit have this sports rivalry that transcends even football.
Minnesota has invoked more pain on the Lions than the Bears have, really.
Yeah, but they have like the whole, like they're the Midwest nice. They don't bring the animosity the way that the Packers and the Bears do to me.
No, because they're from like Norwegian descent. They're nice. It's like Gators, you know, families from there, you know, and they're nice people. Jimmy lived in Minnesota for a long time. Our boss, Jimmy Power, they're nice, you know. Mary Tyler Moore Show, Prince. I mean, they're nice people.
But you're right. That makes it harder to have a villain on the team. So cast that villain for us. 248-539-9797. Later in the hour, we're going to get you the latest from Aaron Glenn. He wants to push back on the narrative that they can't win with this defense. And Amon-Ra St. Brown wants to change an NFL rule. But first, Heather with the news.
So a moment of silence was held for the victims of the New Orleans terror attack before the Sugar Bowl on Thursday, and it was held right before the national anthem, and then following it, there was chants of USA, USA. A pretty cool moment. ESPN is kind of getting some criticism, though, because they didn't air either the anthem or the moment of silence. They haven't really said exactly why. It sounds like there was some awkwardness coming out of a commercial break that they thought it wouldn't really flow well. So anyway, they're getting some backlash for that. But when it comes to that New Year's Day attack, the FBI is now saying that the suspect acted alone and was 100% inspired by ISIS. There was some moments after the attack where they thought, no, this must have been organized with other people. And there were surveillance videos of a couple men and a woman they thought were planting explosives. But it turns out they were just on Bourbon Street in New Orleans having a grand old time. And they saw a cooler, which the suspect had planted a bomb, a homemade bomb. And they thought, maybe there's booze in here. And that's all they were doing. They were not involved in any way, shape, or form. So they've been cleared of that. On Thursday, the feds also revealed that this terrorist posted 5 videos on social media proclaiming his support for ISIS just moments before he carried out the attack. He also explained that his original plan was to kill his family and friends.
But he didn't think it would get the right message out, which is this is what's so tough about this. I hate giving attention to these people, but there's always a fascination of why. But now you read some of his motivation was so people would want to know why. And that it's this cycle that's really messed up.
Yep.
I have a question about the explosives.
Yes.
They didn't go off.
No, they weren't. They didn't work.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Like, I don't think that
is that part of his plan just failed.
Apparently so.
I'm not to be a conspiracy theorist. I don't know that I truly believe he acted alone. Like, he planted all these himself and no one helped him at all. He got the truck by himself. No one helped him at all.
It sounds like he rented the truck in Texas and drove it all the way there.
When were the bombs supposed to go off?
Maybe he had them. Maybe they were timed, you know, obviously.
But then he
timed.
Didn't time it up. This whole thing was so planned. I don't know. Something just doesn't add up to me.
Yeah. Well, when you see the pictures of his house and the things that he has had in there, man, it's a sick human being.
I would just say beware of the it couldn't be done by one person when the guy,
Vegas
shooter, did what he did and got all that ammunition into a hotel room.
Yep. You guys, the body of an Oakland County man who's been missing since 2018 was found near the site of the Electric Forest Music Festival. Kevin Graves and his girlfriend were there at the festival at the time, about almost 7 years ago now. But he went missing several days in. His girlfriend called his family, said, I don't know where he is. And according to authorities, human remains were found on December 30th in a wooded area, confirmed to be the remains of Kevin Graves. Now, police do say the cause of his death may take several months to determine, but there is no indication of foul play currently. So the investigation is ongoing. 2 people were shot and killed, and 2 children were abducted on New Year's Day in Washtenaw County. Ooh. Yeah, after responding to reports of a shooting, police discovered a 74-year-old man and a 48-year-old woman were shot and killed inside of a home in Northfield Township. And then there was also another victim, a 52-year-old man who was shot and wounded. It was also discovered that 2 little girls, 7 and 4, were abducted during this whole incident, leading to this big manhunt. The girls were found unharmed. They're going to be okay. 3 people taken into custody. Tragic situation. Finally, the Pistons will again partner with Scripps Sports to simulcast 5 regular season games over the next 4 months for free on Channel 20. So the upcoming games will also air as well on FanDuel Sports Network Detroit. But the first of these games will air on January 9th. So right around the corner. Then you got January 18th, March 8th, March 25th, and April 10th.
Good.
Yeah.
Get more of them.
It's always nice when people have a chance to tune in and watch it.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, that's Heather with the news. Coming up next, Aaron Glenn wants to defend this defense, says you can win it all with this defense. Do you agree? We'll get to St. Brown's rule change, the rule he wants changed as well. It's 97.1. They said it. Do you agree? We got some audio from Amon-Ra St. Brown and Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn. And we'll start with the defense. Seems to be everybody's fixation. Can they win a Super Bowl playing defense like this?
It would be very tough. Of course, they can. They can outscore most teams, but if you're going to play against a really good defense, are you going to be able to outscore everybody? And if your defense is still leaky, your chances go down. Like injuries to McNeil, God, and Davis happened on the same day.
Spit it out, Stoney.
Yes. I think I told Doug, I was working with him the next day, that my Super Bowl percentages went down to 10%. And I probably was a little hasty on that, but they did drop a lot. When you have a defense, and every team has injuries, but when you lose your best pass rusher, arguably, before the season, your second best pass rusher as well in Davenport, you lose your best linebacker in Anzalone, your best defensive interior lineman in McNeil, who's probably on his way to a Pro Bowl, and your best of a not strengthy cornerback lot in Davis, it's not excuses. How do you expect to be able to be as good? And that's why I felt what I felt, and I still feel what I feel.
The Niners had nearly 500 yards of offense with practice squad offensive linemen, no Christian McCaffrey, no Brandon Ayuk. Mm-hmm. If there's any concern that you have about this team, it's on defense.
Yes.
Now, Aaron Glenn addressed some of that. This is what he had to say about the idea that
He was asked if they could win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's it. It's turnovers for them to do it. And I would expect nothing less. If Aaron Glenn said, you know what? Yeah, you know, it's going to be a lot harder for us to do what we want to do. It's going to be tough. And no, you want your coaching staff, you want your players to be as confident as ever. Fans and media, we don't have to be as confident because we're not playing the freaking game.
Glenn wasn't the only one to comment about the narrative. They can't win the Super Bowl with this defense. Alex Anzalone said, quote, I think that's bull bleep without the bleep. He said, to say we're not good enough to win a Super Bowl, that's pretty dumb. I think they can win the Super Bowl. I'm not going
to
challenge that.
But you cannot say that the chances or percentages are as great as they were before the rash of injuries.
So
that would be
dumb.
Bull bleep.
Yeah.
And dumb.
If you were going to win a Super Bowl with a mangled, tattered defense, what would you need? Well, you need to have the best offense in football.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that's what we're cooking with here.
Right.
The best offense in football. And I don't say that flippantly, like number one in scoring, but Stoney, also, this offensive line is arguably the best in football. It's a veteran group. It was a great nugget on Monday night. They pointed out over 600 games. It's veterans up front of the offensive line. Ragnow and Decker and Zeitler. And the least experienced guy of the bunch is the best of the bunch in Penei Sewell.
Yes.
So it's an experienced, elite offensive line. The offense is balanced in execution. They will run it. They will play action pass. They've got an all-pro in St. Brown. If you got to have a big play, they've got J-Mo, who's taken his game to the next level. The offense is why they can win with this defense. You have to tell the whole story. The offense is why they can win with this defense.
Right. Now, what Glenn said, it was a great analogy. I know you brought up the 09 Saints last week or earlier this week.
Yeah.
But the Ravens is interesting because they had an elite defense. The Lions have an elite offense. The Ravens' offense was way far from elite. And the Lions' defense, obviously, is far from elite. So, yeah, different units, but it can be done.
And I think it's important that you understand what you're working with. Like, Dan Campbell knows it. Why do you think the fourth down decisions are so prevalent? Why do you think the decisions are made in game the way they are? It's because he has to skew things to his offense. And I think Aaron Glenn knows it too, because last year, this time of the season, he started just blitzing. Exotic blitzes. He knew he couldn't get pressure with his front four, even with Aiden Hutchinson at the end of last season. And he said, I got to dial up and take some chances and blitz. And it was an honest assessment of where they're weak. You don't have Carlton Davis. Maybe you can't play as much man. Maybe there has to be a little more zone or a little more safety help. Understanding that I got to find a way. It's not going to be perfect. We're going to give up a bunch of yards, but if we can get a key tip, a key fumble, a key interception, a red zone stop, it might be enough with this offense to win anyway.
And the other thing is, it's not all of a sudden that we got hit by this
good point.
You know, rash of injuries. They've been working with this for over a month, so they're used to it. And now maybe you get Anzalone back Sunday, maybe.
What do you think? Yesterday, he was a full participant, but it wasn't like a full padded physical practice.
My guess is yes, but it's not a strong lean.
So he said that he's not 100%, but nobody is this time of year.
Yeah.
And he said that he's weighing, if you come back now and you have a setback,
right,
would he be willing to miss, say, a Super Bowl to play in this game? And that's what he has to, and they have to decide.
Yeah.
Because you'd hate for him to come back, re-aggravate or injured. I don't know. I mean, and now you don't have him for playoff games.
Right.
And because Campbell did a good job setting up the mindset when we had him on, but also earlier in the week when he said it's not a playoff game.
No.
It's a big game. It's an important game. They're excited, but it's not a playoff game. So that may be, if he doesn't play, I think that will be the difference.
Right.
Is they say, we can lose this game. We can't lose any more after this.
Right.
But I think he'll be out there.
So do I.
Let's go to Duran in Austin. You're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up, guys? Real quick, I just want to say, like, people forget that first game when we played, Minnesota was coming off the bye. We just lost Hutch, and we still went into Minnesota and won the game. If Demo didn't fumble on that last drive, we actually probably would have won by more. I don't know why everyone's so scared. That if any game we could have lost when Costa thought the sky was falling, when Hutch was gone, they came off the bye, we had zero chance to win that game. And we went to Minnesota and win it. So, honestly, and we didn't have Hutch, so our defense was just getting to understand what we had without our top player, and we still won that game. So imagine now, okay, yeah, our defense has lost a lot more players, but we're at home now with the advantage. We beat them, like I said, we beat them off the bye when they said Flores was going to dial up everything against Jared Goff and all this stuff. So right now, to me, I think we are at an advantage with being at home and our offense and everything. And our defense is not going to play like that, but we always give Justin Jefferson 90 points. It's like the old Shaq and Kobe. We'll let Shaq get 40, but nobody else is going to do anything against us.
Well, you make a great point, because Hutch was hurt the week before against Dallas, and everybody talks about, well, the Lions, they came back from 10-0. Yeah, they did, and went ahead 21-10 and then 28-17, and then they almost, lost the game, and then Bates wins it with the field goal.
The Demo fumble.
Yeah.
If they don't fumble, we were driving down. They wasn't stopping us. Think about that drive. We probably ran the clock out with that 6-minute drive.
Yep.
They fumbled. We got it right back and still went down and scored and won the game. Just ran the clock out anyway. It took us longer, but we were going to do that anyway, if you can really tell. So I don't see why everyone's talking about this Flores defense. Goff is like, but they talking about equity and everything like that. Goff has carved this dude up multiple games. Like, I don't understand why everybody's just talking about Flores is going to blitz us to death and all this stuff like that. He's done it before. He doesn't have an answer for Goff.
He doesn't.
In our offense. So,
he doesn't.
So let's everybody again, like Costa, like I told you before, the sky's not falling every time, but you on our side this time, Costa.
Oh, I'm with you. And it's funny you mentioned this, because I remember kind of how I felt going into that first Minnesota game. And I was concerned. I think I picked Minnesota to win that game. And I think I picked Green Bay to beat Detroit the next week.
Right.
But after those two, like, those were aha moments to me, where it crystallized for me, this team does not let that adversity cripple them. That actually strengthens them. They rally. They are a team that can overcome. And I haven't picked against the Lions since.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because he talks about the Demo fumble. I forgot. I had to look back. The fumble was recovered by Minnesota and run for a touchdown. That's what gave them the lead.
Yes. And then you had to sweat it. Now, if you look at the box score, the game was so close. Yardage within 10 of one another. They both had 11 drives. They both averaged 7 yards per play. They both were 4-for-10 on third down. Passing yards within 3 yards of one another. Rushing yards within 6 yards of one another. Penalties, 8 apiece. Like, the time of possession, 29 minutes to 31 minutes. The game on a box score level was very close. And the final score came down to a final kick.
Yes.
And that was on the road, and that was with McNeil, and that was with Carlton Davis. So I'm not going to be mad at someone who says, hey, our defense is still a concern. The difference is, you feel like Jared Goff's going to beat Brian Flores.
Right.
Ben Johnson and Jared Goff will have answers for Brian Flores. They've had answers earlier this year and both meetings last season. So
The other difference, if you want to play the injury card, is they didn't have Hockenson.
Yeah.
And he's playing really well right now.
And then the other thing you throw into the mix is, well, that was in Minnesota, now this is in Detroit.
Exactly.
So it's all in the cauldron. Yes. And we want to hear from you guys. 248-539-9797. Amon Ross St. Brown wants to change an NFL rule. We'll tell you about it next. It's 97.1. Guys, we're talking about the division, and we're talking about first place. The Kings of the North Lions fans, toast to the Kings of the North with 1800 Tequila, the best tasted tequila and a proud partner of the Detroit Lions. Make sure to grab the limited edition Motor City Jersey bottle. It's on shelves now, and it's made for this Lions season. The bottle's design looks like the Motor City alternate jerseys the team's worn a couple times already this season, and rumors are they may be wearing them this week, too. The bottles will be gone soon, so get yours where you normally buy 1800 Tequila and enjoy the number one super premium tequila and the taste of victory on game day. 1800 Tequila, Proximo Spirits, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly. All right, all show long we're talking Lions and Vikings. Open lines, fill in the blank. The one word to describe how you're feeling. We brought up some Aaron Glenn sound where he says, absolutely, this defense is good enough to win a Super Bowl.
And do the Vikings have a villain in your mind? Because to have a really great rivalry, some hate, you need a villain. And I think the biggest villain for Lion fans might but just be, and it's not even going to be there on Sunday, is the damn horn and all that stuff that they have at Minnesota.
As Greg put it, the horn on the helmet that looks like a flush handle.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
The whole skull thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's, if you have a villain that you'd like to nominate,
yeah,
please do. There's also some audio from St. Brown. He wants to change a rule. So part of this game, mm-hmm, the stakes are massive. The winner is the one seed. The loser, despite having 14 wins, will be the 5 seed.
Correct.
And we've talked about this in college football. If you win your conference, or in this case, you're a division winner, you get a bye in college.
Mm-hmm.
St. Brown has a rule change he'd like to see.
You know what? I agree with him. I don't think the NFL would admit that the way they are set up is ever wrong, but it should be. And he's right. There should be some reward for winning your division. The reward is you're in the playoffs, even if you have a record like Houston. If they lose, they'll be 9-8 and win that pathetic division. Okay? We've had times in the past where division winners have been 8-9, I believe.
Losing records and hosting a playoff game.
Right, or 500, something like that. If you're 500 or one game over, one game, you don't deserve the right to host a playoff game over a team that is much better. So I think they should just tweak it a little bit. Yes, every team that wins a division gets in, but you seed it by record.
It's what people have said they want in college, and yes. I agree with that, and I agree with what St. Brown's saying. And this is not because I'm afraid the Lions are going to lose and get a bad.
No.
The rule's not changing.
Right.
And it would actually benefit Minnesota because I think the Lions are going to win.
Right. Correct. Right now, if the season ended today, you know, on our the way we want to do it, Minnesota would be, I don't know what their tiebreaker would be with Philly. First of all, Philly would have something to play for.
Correct.
That's the other thing about this. You would have more games on week 18 that matter.
Because teams aren't locked in.
Correct.
Yeah, I agree with you. It would make Philly play for something. It would reward the 14 wins even for the loser. So the regular season would still have, you know, meant something. You're guaranteed a spot if you win the division, and that's where the conversation should end. And then it should be seeded by your win-loss.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, it would help. I think the Lions are winning, so it would help Minnesota more so.
Right, exactly. But Minnesota would be, let's say they had the tiebreaker of the Eagles, and the Eagles win, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Minnesota would then be the 2 seed.
Yeah, and now someone will say, well, now you've taken some of the juice out of this matchup on Sunday night because there's a real consequence to losing this game. I would tell that person, the 1 seed is worth fighting for regardless because it comes with a bye and home field throughout.
You'll have to win two games.
So it's not like it waters down this game. I mean, slightly, but not really.
No.
I think it just it amps up more of the games at the end of the season.
Yeah, and it definitely does because there's too many games at the end of the season, and that's why people don't play fantasy football the last week of the season where it doesn't mean anything.
So how do you guys feel? St. Brown says it's a rule that they should look into changing where the division, if you don't win your division, you can't be one of the top four.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. You and I are on the same page.
I totally agree. It just makes too much sense, so it won't happen.
Will it happen in college first?
Well, yeah, because it's going to change in college after next year.
Yeah, one more year and then they can dive in.
Because there's no way that a commissioner of whether it's the Big 12 or one of the others, is going to go, let's change it, because it has to be unanimous to change.
To change for next year, it has to be unanimous.
Right.
After that, I think it's they've like built in a period where they can tweak this after next season. And I think an example would be none of the teams left standing in the college football playoff won their conference. You should be rewarded for winning it, but it is not a sign that you are one of the best teams.
Right, exactly.
So, 248-539-9797. The one word to describe this Vikings game for you is?
Excitement. I mean, it is. It's excitement. Buzz. How about that? Buzz. Because the buzz downtown and the buzz in that building is just going to be off the charts.
And
will it be like the playoff game, the first playoff game last year? I don't know. But it should be.
Now, you're going to be on right after, right?
Or yes.
Yeah.
40 minutes after.
Postgame, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys will be taking phone calls and talking to Lions fans, and the mood's going to be one extreme or the other.
Yes.
I think you're going to get a lot of happy phone calls.
I hope so. I do too.
And even by a narrow margin, you think so
yes,
too.
Yes, they're winning the game.
I think you can be a little stressed, a little nervous, and I think that's healthy. But yes, you should trust your Lions to win this spot. So you could use trust as your word. I said psyched. I'm psyched because this is what you're a fan for. You're a fan to have the game at your place for all the marbles, for the division, for the one seed, and you feel good about your team in this game, which is why you're psyched. You feel good because Jared Goff against Brian Flores, you feel like he's going to have enough answers. Earlier this year, he was great. Both meetings last year, he was great. And while Flores can dial up blitzes and confuse lesser teams and stop the run against lesser teams, that has not been the case against the Lions. Now, they're going to have to move the ball. They're going to have to keep their defense off the field. They're going to have to score 30 or more.
Right.
And I think they will. And then it just comes down to, can you heat up Sam Darnold? He's going to have a couple big plays.
Yes.
And they're going to benefit from a pass interference. I'm promising you that right now.
Right.
They will benefit from, Terry and Arnold, what are you doing? You can't let it sink you. You pick yourself up. You get back out there. You buckle down in the red zone. Or you get a big tackle for loss and throw him behind the sticks. And the defense doesn't have to be great to win this game.
No.
The defense has to be below average but timely to win this football game.
Exactly. Just like one or two timely turnovers change the whole game. Make it, you know, that you're up by, you know, one or two possessions. I mean, that's how you win this football game.
So, again, open lines on all of this stuff with the Lions and Vikings. You guys are welcome. Couple ticket texts on St. Brown's rule question.
Mm-hmm.
Says, agree, guys, the rule is garbage. Tampa gets a home game and a 14-win team goes on the road. Total joke, Kevin in Grand Rapids.
Right.
And this one says, no, the NFL has a good system that happens to not be good this year, but next year could be different.
No, it's all. It doesn't make a difference.
You should just seed by record once you have your playoff teams.
Right. To me, it's basic.
For Minnesota to have to go to L.A. or Tampa is nonsense. They won 14 games.
Now, one could argue that maybe because of the crossover and the competition, the Lions had to play, the Lions and the Vikings played the AFC South, which was pretty easy. I don't buy that.
You know who they had to play though? They had to play the North, the NFC North.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And their only losses are to themselves. So take out the fact that they played the AFC. It was the AFC South and the crossover.
Yes.
Those are only four of the games.
Right.
How many did they lose? Period. Two in the case of Minnesota. One of them is to Detroit.
Right.
Green Bay has five losses. Four of them are in this division. So Green Bay has one loss outside of their division. That's not just because of the AFC South crossover.
No.
This division is legitimately the best in football.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
And Minnesota will be punished for it when they lose on Sunday.
Yeah.
So in a weird way, St. Brown's sticking up for Minnesota.
Yeah. He's absolutely correct.
And it's just the logical thing to do. And I've said this for years. This is not because of, and I'm sure you have too, because we've had those extreme examples. I think it was Seattle one year may have been 7-8 or something. It was 7-9.
Wasn't the year when the Seahawks played the Saints in the playoffs and one of them had a much better record, but or a worse record, and they were at home?
Yeah, I think
was that the Marshawn game?
That was the Beastquake game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So open lines 248-539-9797. We got Friday picks coming up at 8:35. It's 97.1.